Cedric Muhammad. You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Of course, we can write about flowers and beads and birds and trees and lovers in a park and all them something there. But what do you say about write about them something there? When if you sit down late in the park at night, man come and shoot you and take a human and rape her. What do you say about write about flowers? When the air pollution wither it up. Right now, the reality out there different. We have to write about South Africa, the youth them at the ghetto. We have to write about the England. We have to write about all these things.
You are tuned in to The Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel. Watchman, Cedric Muhammad, on the Black Coffee Channel.
Babylon, Georgia, I think I'm down. Which I know.
Coffee Channel.
Yes, yes. Yeah. That's my mood you're feeling right now after 2 weeks of rest, relaxation, rejuvenation. I understand that some of you all were concerned about the kid last week, not getting word that we were taking the week off in observance of African Liberation Day or Memorial Day, whatever you prefer. I creep up on you like this today. Hey, listen, June 3rd, 2009, the most sobering, stimulating, and hot program. If you want to send a comment, an email, you can send it directly to me today. They're working out a kink with the chat function. So here's the email, comment@blackcoffeechannel.com, comment@blackcoffeechannel.com. I'll be checking that at the top of the hour. Thoughtful emails, please. Have a lot to catch up on. Did you all see President Obama last night with Brian Williams? What is this, inside the Oval Office? Woo! This is why I voted for Brother President. Not because of policy. Not because of any self-enlightened interest that I have as an entrepreneur. Because of moments like we got last night. I call them the Hot 16. Now, if you go to my Facebook page, and I'm talking about my public Facebook page, not the personal page. And for those of you that are confused, when you search Cedric Muhammad in Facebook, you'll see one which is my name and the other one is the symbol for the show. The one with the show is where I want you to go. We're going to turn that page out. If anyone would like to manage our fan group, Unites with MP3, MP4, video work, let me know. I'm looking for someone to do that. So that'll be the forum for us, the Facebook fan page for Cedric Muhammad. Get acquainted with that. But I wrote something there. I posted something up. You can take a look at it. It's called What I'm Reading and Not Watching. I have not watched CNN, MSNBC, nor Fox, I think going on 40 days. By one count, 40 days, and it's a beautiful thing. You don't need those cable chatter boxes, mind control devices, controlling modality instruments. Get away from this left, right, center. I'm going to do another program, God willing, on another installment on Who is the 10%, where I intend to go deeper into left, right, center, libertarian, conservative, progressive socialist ideological boxes are actually ways to control people and turn you into a consumer market niche. Anyway, President Barack Obama last night with Brian Williams. I'll turn the camera on in a minute. He spit a hot 16. If you caught it, let me know. By the way, Brian Williams must pose more in the mirror than Jay-Z, perfecting his flow. Here's the president.
Well, here's a lifestyle question I've always wanted to know. You're watching ESPN at night. Family's asleep. If you're like most of us, you cruise around. You stop by the cables, or you're going past MSNBC, CNN, and you see a debate underway about you and your presidency. Truth. Do you stop? Do you listen?
I have to say, I generally don't.
How can you?
Mainly because I don't find most of the cable chatter very persuasive. I've used this analogy before. It feels like WWF wrestling. Everybody's got their role to play.
Right.
I know a lot of these guys, and if Pat Buchanan is having a conversation with Chris Matthews or talking to Keith Olbermann, everybody's got their set pieces, and so I don't feel as if I'm learning anything from the debate. I'm spending probably 45 minutes to an hour both reading my national security briefing, but also reading four or five newspapers and just getting a sense of the direction that various debates are taking.
Now, he's working the audio. By the way, that's NBC, not me. They were in a car moving. Here's the part I want you to focus on. President Barack Obama giving you a hot 16. This is why I voted for him. Lines like this. And photo ops like the one you're seeing if you're viewing me through the camera. President Obama praising Ronald Reagan yesterday. This is Business 101 today. We'll talk about this Supreme Court nomination and how you're reading it wrong. Some of you. Mr. President, one more time, a hot 16.
Because I don't find most of the cable chatter very persuasive. I've used this analogy before. It feels like WWF wrestling. Everybody's got their role to play.
Right.
I know a lot of these guys. And, if Pat Buchanan is, having a conversation with Chris Matthews or talking to Keith Olbermann, everybody's got their set pieces. And so I don't feel as if I'm learning anything from the debate.
Now, why is President Obama so clear on the need to get away from the cable TV chatter and we are not? I literally know people who watch CNN or MSNBC or Fox all day hearing nothing really but opinion. And the thing that's laughable about it is we're being herded into what I call controlling modalities, left, right, center, according to channels. So MSNBC is supposed to be left. CNN is supposed to be more center, really left of center. And Fox is supposed to be right. But when you look at who owns each of those companies, both of them, that's right, I said both of them do business with both parties. Why don't you?
Because I don't find most of the cable chatter very persuasive. I've used this analogy before. It feels like WWF wrestling. Everybody's got their role to play.
Right.
I know a lot of these guys. And, if Pat Buchanan is, having a conversation with Chris Matthews or talking to Keith Olbermann, everybody's got their set pieces. And so I don't feel as if I'm learning anything from the debate.
Exactly. I could not have said it at all like that. So this is part of my new zone, I guess. 40 days and nights. No CNN. No MSNBC. No Fox. I'm enjoying France 24. In France, I'm enjoying SABC, the South African Broadcasting Corporation. I'm enjoying Russia Today, RT TV. I'm enjoying Japanese NHK programming and Chinese state news. I'm watching Nigerian news. And there's somebody, Euro News. There's a Euro news channel I watch. Please, family, get away from CNN, Fox, MSNBC for your political thinking. Each week they pick a new topic, it seems, and forget about real journalism. When the swine flu was among us, there was no other news to cover. Get away from it. It's really affecting our ability to mobilize, do for self, organize ourselves. Watch the local news, though. You got to know who's shooting and what houses are burning down near you. But try to open your nose up a little bit for some international news. And see how you feel. I feel so much better not watching CNN, MSNBC, or Fox. And again, please stop it. There is no such thing as left, right, center. General Electric, Time Warner, and News Corp do business with both parties. Stop it. If you have a business and you are not looking at politicians from different parties to further the enlightened self-interest and bottom line of your company, you are out of your mind. So this weekend, actually these last 2 weeks, I've been working on my book. The draft manuscript is just about done, ready to get it to a editor. We're on target for an August publishing date. is the first book out of the Science of Business series. Now, why do I have this picture of President Obama and Nancy Reagan? Because I want to get to, as soon as I can, I want to get into this Supreme Court selection that I understand some African Americans are upset over. That President Obama picked someone who, according to the census designation, is considered Hispanic or Latino. I don't have to do a whole show on that. I'm going to use those terms, even though I'm referring to original people, darker people. But I will use Hispanic and Latino for the purpose of my discussion today. Business 101. This is what the quote-unquote Hispanic voting bloc is teaching. The quote-unquote African-American voting bloc. They're open for business. And they get attended to by more than one interest group, more than one party. They are in play. President Barack Obama did not win because he got the support of the left or black voters. He won because he was able to get independents, the youth, and what did he call them? Obamacans. Obamacans. He was speaking to the Obamacans yesterday. This is from today's Washington Times. Let me read this quickly. Obama boosts Reagan legacy with former First Lady Nancy Reagan's hand on his shoulder. President Barack Obama on Tuesday signed into law a commission to commemorate, Woo! See, that's what happens when you go nature, and get nature-oriented and start hugging trees. Let's try this again. Washington Times, Obama boosts Ronald Reagan's legacy. This is a great move by Obama, if you understand. With former First Lady Nancy Reagan's hand on his shoulder, President Obama on Tuesday signed into law a commission to commemorate the 100th anniversary of President Ronald Reagan's birth in 2011. And he heaped praise on the man he said lifted the country out of a troubling time. President Reagan helped, Obama said, as much as any president to restore a sense of optimism in our country. A spirit that transcended politics, that transcended even the most heated arguments of the day, Mr. Obama said as the former First Lady gazed up at him. The meeting between the two also gave Mr. Obama the chance to put right a couple of recent mistakes or missed opportunities, with Mr. Obama telling Mrs. Reagan he's a big admirer and assuring her that his wife Michelle is as well. She thinks the world of you, the president said to the former first lady as he was escorting her from the White House diplomatic reception room after signing the commission bill. In his first press conference after winning the election, Mr. Obama said he had called all the living presidents and then joked that he didn't call the dead ones because I didn't want to get into Nancy Reagan thing about doing any seances. He apologized later that day. Then in a recent article in Vanity Fair, Mrs. Reagan let it be known she was disappointed the president didn't invite her to the White House for the signing of an executive order expanding federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. On Tuesday, Mr. Obama took pains to praise Mrs. Reagan's work on stem cell research and said she has been extraordinarily gracious to him and his wife. For her part, Mrs. Reagan was inseparable from the president the entire time they were in the room. When he escorted her to the lectern, she had one hand on her cane and the other tucked in the crook of Mr. Obama's arm. That's right, a crook, C-R-O-O-K. When he spoke and she kept her arm on his elbow, and when he signed the bill, she had her hand on his shoulder. She also watched the president closely as he used six pens to sign the measure. "You're a lefty," she said. "I'm a lefty," the president confirmed, no doubt. This, let me talk to you all, Business 101. Now I can move into a discussion briefly about this Supreme Court selection, which I heard while I was getting R&R, relaxation and rejuvenation. For what I understand, some African Americans, quote unquote, were upset, initially at least, that Ms. Sotomayor, if I'm saying it correctly, was selected. This is what I heard. If you want to build with me on this, send an email to comment@blackcoffeechannel.com. comment@blackcoffeechannel.com. A little glitch in the matrix today with our comment box. So shoot me an email directly. comment@blackcoffeechannel.com. Now I'm sitting here in utter amazement. How could anyone have a problem with this selection if you truly understand? Business 101. That's why now I want to take the conversation into business 101, not left, right, center, political ideology, which will have you in a tizzy. Business 101. Let me put this music on you to prepare you. Hold on. Okay, I should thoroughly have you in the state of mind I want you in. Now listen, this is an article from the Wall Street Journal, Wednesday, May 27th, 2009. Article is called Selection Recognizes Latino Rise. The choice of Sonia Sotomayor for the Supreme Court is in part a shrewd political move by President Barack Obama that underscores the growing cloud of Hispanics that could bind them more tightly to Democrats. This will be seen as a historically important appointment, and it will help solidify the support of the Latino community behind President Obama, said Harnett Merguia, president of the National Council of La Raza, a Latino civil rights organization. The fast-growing Hispanic voting bloc, which grew to nearly 9% last year from 7% in 2000, has been wooed heavily by both parties in recent years. Mr. Obama's strong support from Hispanic voters in 2008 reversed a trend that had seen some Hispanic voters moving Republican under President George W. Bush. In the 2004 campaign, Mr. Bush won 44% of the Hispanic vote. That was less than Democrat John Kerry, who won 53%, but it was up substantially from the year 2000. President Bush's second term saw a sharp debate across the nation over his plan to overhaul immigration. Many congressional Republicans fought efforts to create a path to citizenship for illegal immigrants, instead focusing on tougher border security. Last year, Mr. Obama received more than 60% of the Hispanic vote, according to the exit polls, compared to 32% for Republican rival Senator John McCain. That helped him win tight races in Nevada, Colorado, and Florida. Until Tuesday, Mr. Obama has disappointed some Latinos in his presidency for failing to push for a quick overhaul of the immigration system. But Robert Suro, past director of the Pew Hispanic Center, a research group, said the Sotomayor nomination would have symbolic power for Hispanics and could be a useful moment for the president, especially if Republicans resist. Whatever political capital the administration may have gained with Latinos will be redoubled if there's a nomination fight, he said. The Republican Party really has lost a lot of ground with Hispanics. Now, I don't understand. Like, Business 101 would tell you what this is. This is called managing your emerging demand because your current demand is constant. It's a simple current demand and emerging demand. You feel me? Current demand and emerging demand. The black vote, pardon me, the African-American vote is captured. It's captured, y'all. Why in the world would I nominate a black person to the Supreme Court when I'm already maxed out on my African-American vote? I'm at like 95.23%. My quote-unquote Hispanic vote is at 60%. How about I want to try to get that to 65%? As long as your current demand is constant, you want new markets. Jay-Z didn't go double platinum because of his current demand. He got women. He got whites. and he expanded his current demand into new emerging niches, and he was able to go quadruple platinum, as Tupac might say, quadruple platinum. Same with Tupac. Tupac started doing movies, was on MTV left and right. He goes from a gold artist to a quadruple, quintuplet. I'm just making up numbers. Artists. So this is simple. Stop thinking political ideology. Start thinking business 101, and you'll see why this was a brilliant move on the part of President Obama. Just like his praise of Ronald Reagan was brilliant yesterday to keep those Obamacans in the fold. So this is a political conversation, but I want to have it in a business context, if you feel me. Makes perfect sense. And you'll see more and more of this. You'll see more and more of this. So certain people are going to continue to be disappointed only because they made up in their own mind. They constructed an image of President Obama that's not realistic, and it's nothing that he enabled. President Obama did not wink at anyone and say, hey, when I get in, I'm going to get it popping with H.R. 40. He's making everyone work. So again, President Obama, with Nancy Reagan, a brilliant move. President Obama nominating Ms. Sotomayor, a brilliant move as well. Business 101, go get that emerging demand. Okay, I want to talk about food stamps. I don't know, I don't want to call this necessarily another episode in whackness or whacktivism, but some of you may have heard in New York City a debate going on over the number of Americans using food stamps. Now listen, there's some anti-hunger activists, homeless activists, and I think that is divine work. If you read Matthew 25, I'm all about that. I used to manage a soup kitchen myself. That is the Lord's work. However, some activists are not following business 101 protocols. There is a debate over Costco's and BJ's and other stores accepting food stamps or not. And there are activists who are pushing for this, but it is in the business interest of these companies to accept food stamps. Let me give you a little known figure. Out of the, what, $3.5 trillion Barack Obama budget, one of the big winners in that budget was food stamps, which are now called the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program. In case some of you've been off of food stamps so long, you don't remember what they look like. No, I'm not going to throw up the picture of ODB with his food stamps, but I'm going to give you a classic shot. This is what it's all about right here. Food stamps in the house. Now let me read this to you. Tell me whether you think this is an episode in whackness, whacktivism, or this is some people playing right into the hands of businesses, giving them cover to do something that they were already willing to do in order to capture emerging demand. New York City comptroller urges Costco to accept food stamps. This is from May 20th. I'm going to give you a timeline of stories so you can follow the narrative. New York City's comptroller urged Costco Wholesale Corporation to accept food stamps at its outlets because of hard economic times in the United States. This ill-advised resistance clearly establishes a competitive disadvantage and presents a reputational risk for Costco, comptroller William Thompson wrote in a letter to Costco's chief executive James Senegal. New York City pension funds. Now listen to this. New York City pension funds hold nearly 1.5 million shares of the discount club operator's stock, worth more than $66 million, according to Thompson, who is also chief investment officer of the funds. Now, fam, William Thompson, comptroller, good brother, I assume. But it's just a bit much to hear people saying that you know, we want publicly traded Fortune 500 size companies to accept food stamps in order to help the poor. Are you kidding me? Now, I'm telling you, the comptroller of New York City is the chief investment officer of the New York City pension funds, which owns 1.5 million shares of Costco stock, worth more than $66 million. Let me go on. This is how I had to keep a straight face reading this. Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, SNAP payments, commonly known as food stamps, help the poor buy food. Costco's competitor, BJ's Wholesale Club, and discount retailer Family Dollar Stores, Inc., accept food stamps. Did you just hear what I just said? Their competitors are already now accepting food stamps. At a time when Costco is poised to open a facility in East Harlem, where tens of thousands of residents receive SNAP, such refusal is both contrary to social policy and a poor business decision, Thompson wrote in the letter, a copy of which was received by Reuters. Now, this is May 20th. Now, it will be interesting to know to see if the New York City Pension Fund has money in BJ's Wholesale Club and the Family Dollar Store, who are already accepting food stamps. Okay, let me make the story a little more riveting. Now, fast forward until yesterday. Costco food stamp compromise follows BJ's precedent. Costco will test food stamps in its New York locations, but while activists, politicians, and even bloggers will take credit for persuading the company to change its policy, the competition has something to do with it too. No, you think? Business 101, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. This is why this is sobering, stimulating, and hot. Later for ideology, let's deal with Business 101. Do the activists, politicians, and bloggers really think that they forced Costco to do something that they weren't already contemplating doing? In April, BJ's announced that it would begin to accept food stamps benefits via electronic benefit transfer payments in all of its 180 locations. In announcing the program, Laura Sen, the club chain CEO, noted BJ's recognizes the diverse financial status and changing needs of its members. We are proud to help members stretch their food budgets. Are you kidding me? You know how much money BJ's is going to make accepting food stamps? See, couching this kind of stuff in terms of charity, in terms of political activism, obscures what I think is more important, which is the damn bottom line. Self-enlightened interest. Costco and BJ's getting it. If this is charity, I want more of this. I need to start taking food stamp payments for folks that want to advertise on this show, which you can do by filling out the Partner With Us form beneath the player that you're watching or listening to right now. I'm going to start accepting food stamps via the electronic benefit transfer payment system. The point she made is important, talking about Laura Sen, the club chain CEO, this is the CEO of BJ's. Many New York neighborhoods suffer a lack of major supermarket chain outlets, and that includes Harlem, where the under-construction Costco that has been the center of the controversy is located. The retailer built there based on the relatively low costs and government incentives the location afforded and for the access the site provides affluent consumers from surrounding neighborhoods as well as better fixed locals. But the idea that many lower income Harlem residents who use food stamps might have restricted access to less expensive food and basic consumer goods than folks coming into the community to shop, particularly given that local residents might be shopping for food primarily at high-cost grocery stores and bodegas, would naturally provoke area activists and politicians. Fam, this is why I'm warning you. I'm exhorting you, encouraging you, get away from wacktivism. Instead of the activists, the bloggers and the politicians in Harlem, instead of you all giving millions of dollars to Costco, why don't you get entrepreneurs in these neighborhoods the kind of financing they need from you so that they can start their own supermarket chain This is a perfect opportunity for entrepreneurs in Harlem to come together and say, there's a void in the marketplace. There's people with food stamps who can't afford to buy food. Let's build a store and then have those food stamps, electronic benefit transfer payments come to us. Stay in the community. This is email me. I've been hugging trees and my blood pressure is starting to go up because I have just spotted maybe some of, I have to say it, I was trying to hold back out of respect to the anti-hunger and homeless activist community doing the Lord's work. But all of the tree hugging that I did, communing with nature, it can't protect me from this. I'm going to keep going with this. Business 101, not wacktivism. I mean, this is hard to get through. Although it has managed to develop one club each in the boroughs of Brooklyn and Queens, Costco has a history of community opposition in New York, as most big store operators have. Traffic issues, concerns about neighborhood character, and old-fashioned obstructionism all factor into problems retailers confront, and the opposition tends to organize and look for attention while folks who might like new retail options get less of a hearing. Yet, developers and the retailers they work with that have clout, and despite a few struggles, particularly in Brooklyn, Costco has been able to penetrate the New York market, something that Walmart is still attempting to do. Costco has pulled out of Big Apple projects in the past, though. Okay, enough about that. Let me go to BJ's. Particularly given BJ's decision to embrace them, talking about food stamps, Costco's decision to test food stamps in its New York City clubs was a wise compromise. It puts local politicians who want to boost community retail services back on its side, protects the investment the company has made to get into Manhattan, and avoids a fight that would result in its villainization, one that would confer white knight status on BJ's, with three clubs operating its major competitor in the city. That's right. I have a picture of a beautiful young sister hugging a tree, calming me down. Now, what I'm saying to you all is, I'm going to get the number of, I'll leave that alone. I'll leave that alone. Send your comment in, comment@blackcoffeechannel.com. Let me know how you feel about this. I'm going to keep reading. It gets worse. So you have, let me construct the schematic for you. You have a group of consumers whose primary form of disposable income for groceries is food stamps. Okay, then you have stores that don't want to serve the Harlem market, certain inner city areas, but they have a Costco there, but the Costco won't take food stamps. The Costco was actually set up in Harlem to benefit folks on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Anyone on the Upper West Side right now, let me know. So the activists, the bloggers, and the politicians, instead of saying, let's back entrepreneurs who have experience in the grocery business, who have run supermarket chains or who manage Costco's, who manage BJ's, who manage Walmart's, let's put a group of them together or ask them to submit business plans. We'll put some seed capital up ourselves, and then we'll get whatever empowerment zone money or whatever the government has, and SBA money behind it. I mean, if you don't do better, how can you expect better? So this is a victory. That food stamp money that could have gone to poor, middle class, and even wealthy entrepreneurs from Harlem, it's a victory now that money now is going to Costco. I will never support this in the name of left, right, center, whatever. There's nothing progressive about that. That's regressive wacktivism. Send me your comment. I got listeners in Harlem. I used to live in Harlem. I know what this Costco is. I'm not mad at Costco. If activists are going to throw money at you from the poor, take it. And it gives you a cover now to get some more money. And this is the next piece of the story I want to get into. The Obama budget. One of the big winners of the $3.5 trillion President Barack Obama budget was, you guessed it, SNAP. Food stamps, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, operated by the USDA's Food and Nutrition Services, gets a temporary bump in the Obama budget. Americans have applied for food stamp benefits in record numbers. Family, this is an emerging market. The food stamp market is booming because more Americans are getting on food stamps, and President Obama has poured money into the program. Every corporation out there that has not been serving the poor now knows this. So they were going to adjust their business model anyway. The Food and Nutrition Services accounts for 2/3 of the USDA's budget, but less than 1% of its staff. The budget grants a temporary increase in funding to help strengthen the food purchasing power of low-income families. Now, let's go back to 2008. I'm performing a mental massage on you right now. I want to show you how big this food stamp market is growing. This is Business 101. December, what was this? 2008. Record number of Americans using food stamps. Food stamps, the main U.S. anti-hunger program which helps the needy buy food, set a record in September. Now, this is September of last year. You think that the major corporations didn't see this? Food stamps, the main U.S. anti-hunger program which helps the needy buy food, set a record in September as more than 31.5 million Americans used the program, up 17% from a year ago, according to government data. The number of people using food stamps in September surpassed the previous peak of 29.85 million seen in November 2005 when victims of Hurricanes Katrina, Rita, and Wilma received emergency benefits. September's tally was also boosted by hurricane and flood aid, but anti-hunger groups said the economic downturn is the main reason behind the higher figures. It's a disturbing trend, said Ellen Vollinger, legal director for the Food Research and Action Center. She says she expects more people will turn to food stamps as unemployment figures rise and the economy remains weak. 1 in 10 Americans were participating in the food stamp program as of September, said Dottie Rosenbaum, analyst with the Center on Budget Policy Priorities, a think tank. That's approaching the all-time high of 10.5% of the population that used the program in 1994 and is similar to levels seen in the early 1980s, she said. States that have seen a drop in job numbers and increase in home foreclosures, such as Florida and Nevada, also have seen a marked increase in food stamp use. Last month, the USDA said 36.2 million Americans, or 11% of all households, struggled to get enough food to eat, and 1/3 of them had to sometimes skip or cut back on meals. Family, this is going to boom. More and more money is going to go into food stamps. And here some of us are, in the name of helping the poor, begging Costco to accept this. Some of your comments, man. This might be supreme whackness, but it's sincere though. I don't see anti-hunger activists as exploiting the poor, but I do suspect some of them are being actually put up to this by some of these companies that want this money but don't want to pay to change their accounting and financial systems to accept food stamps. They want the government to give them a subsidy, and it's coming. The hottest show in the diaspora, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. I've been hugging trees. Talk more about that as well as the books that I'm reading. If you go to my Facebook fan page, you'll see the list of my, I guess you call it the Cedric Muhammad Book Club. We'll start. President Barack Obama spit a hot 16 last night. Get away from the cable ideological control modalities, I call it. June 3rd, 2009, Cedric Muhammad Black Coffee Program. Sobering, stimulating, and hot. And with all due respect, I have a lot of regard for anyone who's out there working with the poor, homeless, you name it. I have high regard for that kind of work. But we have to be careful that we don't get into or enable something called the misery industry, which is because you're getting grant money to help homeless people, because you're being supported perhaps by benefactors that have an ideological interest. You don't see the bigger picture. What Harlem, what all of these distressed rural and inner city areas need is not Costco's coming in by the truckload. What they need are entrepreneurs, talented and skilled professionals who already have a background that qualifies them to run a grocery store or a supermarket, help them obtain the seed capital that they need. So there's nothing wrong with taking a homeless person and putting clothes on their back, taking a person who has no food and giving them that. Like I said, I used to manage a soup kitchen. We need more people performing the work of Matthew 25. But what is wrong with having an entrepreneurial mindset? This is why I don't like partisanship. I don't like ideological attachments that cause you to not think. Where you just put on a shirt, it says D for Democrat, R for Republican, G for Green Party, L for Libertarian, and now you had to stop thinking. You're no longer allowed to have a self-enlightened interest. Entrepreneurship among the poor, the Latino / Black Asian community in these poor urban and rural areas is the solution. If you don't have a store that respects you enough to accept food stamps, and that's the currency that you have, form your own store. Take your nickels and dimes, follow the principle of the Jewish Free Loan Society, follow the principle of the Esusu of West Indian, West African tradition, microcredit. Put your nickels, dimes, pennies together, get you a lawyer and an accountant so nobody stops dipping in the till, and get you, before you know it, you'll have $50,000, $100,000, $1 million raised, and you can demand people from the community who have experience running stores to present business plans and make a presentation to set up a store. That's whacktivism when you don't have an enlightened self-interest economically. If you want to comment on this, send it to comment@blackcoffeechannel.com. comment@blackcoffeechannel.com. Here is the CEO of BJ's. She's not thinking nothing about this kind of nonsense. BJ's has a gas station, some of you know. The price of gas is going up. This is how BJ is moving right now in this hard economic times. Laura Sen, the CEO of BJ's Wholesale.
You know, it's a two-edged sword. You know, when gas prices go through the roof, members flock to our gas stations. We have gas stations in about 104 of our 182 clubs, and they flock to us for that value. But on the other hand, it cuts into their budget. So, you know, you get the traffic, but they may not have as much to spend. We look at the numbers 6 ways to Sunday, and we say, you know, we want to offer value all the time. That's all I can say. You know, if they're not compelled to come to us when gasoline prices are lower, they seem to be have a little bit more money in their wallet to spend on, you know, maybe some discretionary items.
So right now, the CEO of BJ's is giving another lesson in Business 101. And Wawa, those of you who see Wawa's in the East Coast, or maybe they're national now, they use gasoline as what's called a loss leader. You know what a loss leader is? It's an item that is sold at its cost or at a loss in order to drive you in, to bring you in, give the store traffic. Best Buy's used to do this with music. They used to sell CDs at $9.99. And everybody would run away from the smaller mom and pop record stores, the local independent community owned record stores would suffer, because we would all go to Best Buy's and Target, and buy music because it was $9.99. They were selling it at cost or at a loss, or because the music labels were giving them the CDs for free. Best Buy's was drawing you in with the CD so that they could sell you a TV or a refrigerator or a stereo system or a PlayStation, where they would make a higher profit margin. Well, BJ's does that with gas. They sell gas dirt cheap to bring you in so that you go in and shop. This is Laura Sen spitting the game of BJ Wholesale Club. She's the CEO. Speak to us, Laura. Teach Business 101.
Items or some food.
When you look at the marketplace right now and differentiation, making sure that that value proposition continues to work even when we come out of the recession, what are the things that you're looking at right now that says, I'm going to keep these consumers on board, because you're one of the few companies that's actually looking to expand in such a challenging environment? How do you do that?
Well, we go to market differently than our competition. Clubs historically have focused on the business member, and we certainly do cater to many, many businesses. However, our focus is the consumer. So we want to make sure that that family with, you know, new babies get all their diapering needs and all their, you know, children's food needs, and older couples that are retired can find what they need with us. So we really have a laser focus on what the consumer wants, the retail consumer wants, and are happy to serve the business member, but that's not our key audience.
And Laura, just before we wrap up here, the state of the economy today, you know, I like to always put in a 9-inning bowl game. Where do you think we are? What are you most concerned about right now?
I am concerned that there is a ripple effect through the economy of all the changes that have happened to people's situations, whether it's their mortgage situation, their employment situation. And I think that we're only in the third or fourth inning of what will happen. People who went on unemployment may be going off unemployment already. I am not bullish about the recovery this year. I believe we're in for a tough sled for the rest of the year.
All right. Well, Laura Sen, it was terrific having you on the show. BJ Wholesale Club CEO, thank you for joining us. Great having you.
Thank you very much.
BJ started accepting food stamps. To recap, BJ started accepting food stamps in April because of this dramatic rise in food stamps. 30-something million Americans are now on food stamps. It's over a 20% increase. And we have activists in Harlem demanding that Costco's accept food stamps rather than setting up businesses that could take those food stamps, empowering the people in that community. This is Wackness. We'll be back. Hour number two, the hottest show in the diaspora. We'll talk about Kobe. Yeah, I didn't forget. I told you all LeBron wasn't ready yet. I don't know if LeBron will win a championship in Cleveland. They're going to have to change that situation dramatically, maybe even getting rid of that coach who called that. He actually called giving LeBron James the ball every time down the court a strategy. Get in tune with nature. I'll be right back.
Cedric Muhammad.
Now, some of you may know that the most likely people to go to prison in this country today are young African-American men, right? A few years ago, there was a report that was done by the Sentencing Project indicating that about 25% of all young men between the ages of, 18 and 24 or so were incarcerated. 25%. That was, I think, in 1991. A few years later, the Sentencing Project did a similar report and discovered that within 3 or 4 years, the percentage had soared to over 32%. And by now, that percentage has probably gone up. So we're talking about over one-third of all young black men in this country in prison or directly under the surveillance and control of the criminal justice system. Now, something is wrong with that.
Yeah, Pat, Pooch, Pat.
Don't you think?
Pooch, Trey. My resolution started when the millennium started. Not the year. Street sweepers. Come on.
Living in a world of broken dreams, heartaches and pain. Gonna figure it out along the way. Our shit don't change. But there's so much to lose and so much to gain. Said I'm finally living hard just to maintain. The money getting so much shorter now. When I got me a baby daughter now, time I turn my life around.
They call the black man an ape. They say we resemble gorillas when we gain weight. They say we 3-4 men get it straight. Pat Pooch, educate. At the same time, they released the movie King Kong where they kill a black ape. They killed Cookie Williams out in California State. Am I jumping to conclusions or is it fact proven that they use movies to imitate what they're doing? They gave him the death penalty for killing them. Who gon' get them the death penalty for killing him? It's contradiction. Is Son of Sam out of prison or is he in jail? Is Charles Manson not a villain? Sammy the Bull admitted to a lot of killing, but they let him live cause he did a lot of snitching. Read the German language, maybe your mind is that quicker. The definition of Schwarzenegger is black nigga.
Watchmen, Cedric Muhammad, and the Black Coffee Channel.